I'm going to start with a couple of readings, a scripture reading, and then a reading outside of the scripture. The scripture reading today comes from the first chapter of the first book in the Bible, Genesis 1, verses 24 through 27, and I'm reading from the Inclusive Bible. Then God said, "Earth, bring forth all kinds of living soul, cattle, things that crawl, and the wild animals of all kinds." And so it was. God made all kinds of wild animals and cattle and everything that crawls on the ground, and God saw this and saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image to be like us. Let them be the stewards of the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, the wild animals, and everything that crawls on the ground." Humankind was created as God's reflection. In the divine image of God, God created them. Female and male, God made them. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. I'd also like to share, today I'm going to be talking a little bit about namaste, the concept of namaste. I want to read an excerpt from award-winning author L.R. Nost on namaste. This is what she has to say. "Namaste means that my soul acknowledges yours. Not just your light, your wisdom, your goodness, but also your darkness, your suffering, your imperfections. It is a recognition and an acceptance of the inexplicable divine absurdity, the miraculous woven into the ordinary. Light and darkness intimately entwined in a magical, messy humanity. It means that I honor all that you are with all that I am. So, namaste, my fellow travelers. I'm so glad we're on this trek through the universe together."
This song is called Namaste. Walking down the street, I saw the night was falling. Happened by a man who got the brightest smile. Greeted with a word, I said, "What did you call me?" What he said forever changed my style. Whenever you meet someone you like to know, always remember to honor his soul. Namaste means that the highest in me forever shines in the highest in you. Namaste. Namaste. Every now and then you make unique connections, one you never met but feel you know before. Always realize that it's a touch of heaven, making you aware that life is so much more. The soul is the essence of all that you are, deep as the ocean and more like the stars. I learn when someone sees this in your eyes, they're seeing the real you that baptized my soul. To breathe this way,
mistake. So a quick reminder, as we started a few weeks ago, and when I finish my message today, there'll be a brief period of silence for reflection or meditation, whatever is best for you. At which point, you know, you'll hear Stephanie bring in some quiet music, which she'll transition or move into the song that she's prepared for after the message. So, the powers that be have been pulling our nation apart for too long. Rather than reminding us that we are more alike than different, they tend to divide us by turning minuscule differences into mountains that separate us. If we ever hope to come together as a nation, and we need to, we need leadership that will prioritize uniting us rather than dividing us. Prioritize truth and justice and equality rather than fanning the flame of falsehoods, injustice, and inequality. Now, only time will tell if they will do that or even if they can do that, but I can't help but think it sure wouldn't hurt to put some time into thinking about, thinking about our alikeness. So today, I'd like to talk about namaste. My message is entitled, No Mere Mortals. So, namaste is a Sanskrit word that essentially means the divine in me honors the divine in you. From a purely linguistic perspective, nama means bow, ah means I, and te, or as means I, and te means you. So, namaste literally means bow me, you, or I bow to you. And as most of you probably know, though, however, that the larger meaning of the word is so much greater than the simple concept of humbling yourself before someone, even though that is definitely part of the meaning. It can certainly be helpful to find, you know, a succinct phrase that captures a particular spiritual teaching, something like namaste. It makes it easy to, you know, hold on to and to carry around with us without the need to memorize some long list of spiritual babble to go along with it. That said, it's important to keep in mind that there's more to namaste than what can fit on the side of a coffee mug or a bumper sticker. Namaste encapsulates the understanding that we all are one. It highlights the reality that beneath the outward appearances that make you seem to be different from others, you are all made of the same stuff. Or as Carl Sagan would put it, we are all made of star stuff. Or singer-songwriter Pink once said, we all bleed red, we all cry tears on this endless search for the meaning of life and love. Basically, we are all more the same than we ever will be different. Tantric philosophy teaches that everything that exists is one divine consciousness that longs to experience itself in all its different forms. And as we heard in today's scripture reading, Judaism and Christianity hits at that reality in telling us that we are each made, each of us are made in the image of God. Unfortunately, it seems to be our human nature to forget that truth. That truth being that every person, thought, feeling, and experience is a perfect expression of the divine oneness, of the divine awareness. When we forget that by feeling separate, or less than, or better than, those types of things. When we forget that, we suffer. And many spiritual teachings remind us that one way of overcoming that is simply by remembering who you actually are. by saying namaste. Well, saying it while understanding it fully and meaning everything that it says, by saying namaste, you are saying that you see others for what you actually are. Tantric teachings would say that it's an affirmation of the choice to identify with the God consciousness. See, that the ego can tell us that we are somehow superior or inferior to any other person on this planet, while identifying with what some call the God consciousness reminds us that we are one with each other. It's a conscious choice to take the spiritual perspective into the laboratory of life. Ask yourself, what would life be like if you saw others as perfectly whole? What if you saw yourself that way, perfectly whole? The Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 29, puts it this way. The man whose self is disciplined in yoga, whose perception is the same everywhere, sees himself in all creatures and all creatures in himself. In his translation of the 1,000-year-old tantric spiritual text called the Recognition Sutras, scholar Christopher Wallace describes how that particular understanding might affect your approach to life. He says this, once you become aware of the true nature of reality, everything you do becomes an act of reverence. Simply living your ordinary daily life with full awareness becomes a complete practice of meditation, a perfect form of worship, an offering to all beings and to, capital B, being itself. Tantra teaches that because there is only one in the universe, all actions are in truth the divine exploring itself. All actions are in truth the divine exploring itself, reverencing itself, worshiping itself. Now, many of us have heard and are familiar with the idea of Christ within. Well, in Hindu's premier holy text, the Bhagavad Gita, I stumble on that every time, the Bhagavad Gita, within it, they talk of Krishna within. And the Quran tells us that Allah is closer to you than your jugular. The Buddhist scriptures talk about Buddha within, and correspondingly, the Adi Granth, which is the Sikh holy text, sees that the one God is all-pervading and alone dwells in the mind. Though many religious people know the idea that God is to be found within them, most people seem to imagine that somehow is only a small and divided piece of God that is inside them, or that all it means is that there is some aspect of God within us. However, other passages in the scriptures of the world's religions also clearly state not only that God is indeed within us, but that also that God is undivided, indivisible, and always one. French idealist, the philosopher, Jesuit priest, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, put it this way. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Or C.S. Lewis once put it, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. No mere mortals. The reality is that it is somewhat surprising that people don't live life with this namaste perspective. As you've already heard, most spiritual practices have some form of it. Well, many cultures do as well. The Hawaiian greeting aloha has a very similar meaning, actually. One interpretation of aloha means I bow to you. The light within me honors the light within you. The Zulu people are one of South Africa's largest ethnic groups, and as we've talked about before, their greeting is Sawubona, which is actually used by people and a lot of other people in South Africa, not just the Zulu. Sawubona means I see you, and the culturally appropriate response is Ngibona, which means I am here. I see you, I am here. Unfortunately, you know, translating from one language to the other frequently can lose some of the implied meaning, but integral to the Zulu greeting and response is the sense that until you saw me, I didn't exist. By recognizing me, you brought me into existence. Zulu folks say, clarifies this, and I'm not very good with the Zulu language. I'll try not to stomp on it too much. It says, Umuntu, Ngubuntu, Nagabunt, Bantu, meaning a person is a person because of other people. Person is a person because of other people. When I try to put this all together, I end up with three components that are necessary to practice namaste. First, we must come from a place of understanding that we are a reflection of something larger than ourselves, something that some folks call God, and that our true essence is in one way or another divine. Or as Muhammad put it, whoever knows himself knows God. And second, we must recognize that truth. We've got to recognize it to be true, not just for ourselves, but for all of humanity. And finally, and I would argue probably most importantly, we must not only recognize that reality, but we must act accordingly. Recognize it and act accordingly. When we come from a consciousness of namaste, we want nothing more than to honor, to bless, to appreciate, to serve, and to love others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that when one suffers, we all suffer. Science has even begun to hint at this reality as well. The fact is, it may be much more than just a theologically or philosophically sound perspective. It's beginning to look like it is a biologically sound perspective as well. The phenomenon that I'm kind of alluding to is something called quantum entanglement. I brought it up before. Basically, it seems to be suggesting that the entire universe could be a unified and inseparable oneness, the entire universe. Entanglement is the quantum mechanical property where if two photons occupy the same point in space at the same point in time, then they essentially become a single unified whole. Investigating that led to the revelation of a phenomenon called as non-locality. I know I'm getting a little sciencey here. What they found, though, was that two photons that have been entangled by at some point can actually influence one another instantaneously, even if they are both located at opposite sides of the universe. Instantaneously. Though separated in space, they seem to have this instant communication with one another, as if they were one single entity. It makes Carl Sagan's perspective that we are all star stuff all the more intriguing. The Big Bang singularity suggested that the entire universe occupied the same point in space before the bang. And as we just heard, quantum entanglement tells us that when quantum particles occupy the same space, they become permanently entangled with each other, able to impact each other without regard to space and time. So every single atom in the universe is entangled with every other. And logically, I have to deduce then that even though it all started with the Big Bang and expanded and distributed its matter across the universe, it also exists as a single, unified, and inseparable whole. We are all star stuff. We are all inextricably connected. The universe in me can see the universe in you. The divine in me can see the divine in you. We have a lot of work to do. And a namaste outlook on each other, even with those with whom we disagree, is exactly the kind of thing that could begin to heal our nation and the world. So I say, namaste. Aloha. So I'm going. I see. Thank you.
thinking of myself less. They say humility doesn't come easily, and I find that to be true. I got a lot of pride, yeah, me, myself, and I still got some growing up to do. Cause if I find the very best life, I've got to learn to die myself. There's freedom to be found when I stop and look around and think about someone else. It ain't about thinking less of myself, just thinking of myself less. Ain't about thinking less of myself, just thinking of myself first. If I wanna live like Jesus, gotta learn to walk like He does. It ain't about thinking less of myself, just thinking of myself first. Myself down, see, I'm living under grace. God loves the world so much, and I'm free to do the same. If I want to find the very best life, I've got to learn to die myself. There's freedom to be found when I stop to look around and think about someone else. It ain't about thinking less of myself, just thinking of myself less.
Turn more inwardly, a time for further meditation or to pray along with me, to accept these words as they come to you. Let's bow our heads. Let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. Sadly, we seem to spend most of our time defining how others are not like us, implicitly regulating them to something that is less respectable, less correct, less worthy, less acceptable than us. We create the divisions based on false standards that we've created for ourselves without seeing that we created the standards in part to reinforce the divisions. And the maddening circle continues. We bracket out the teachings of Jesus telling us to love one another, even those we may consider enemies. We bracket out the words of the prophets telling us to do justice, love kindness, to walk humbly. We bracket out the reality that as spiritual descendants of Abraham, we are to be a blessing to the earth, not simply by our existence, rather through our actions, through our interactions, through our love. We do not simply seek forgiveness for the times that we fall short. We make a pledge, a promise, a covenant to work more diligently towards being the people we are called to be, the people we are created to be. May we be strengthened in our efforts. May we be encouraged in the difficult times. May we stand firmly as we stand together. May we see the divine in all people. May we be inspired to a more loving way of life. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with one another and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and your actions bring that love and happiness to all that you meet.